The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women with your host, Deanne DeMarco. On today's program, you'll meet the next business and entrepreneurial rising star. You'll learn from their successes, challenges, and life lessons to find out what has made them recognized in their fields. Now, here is your host, Deanne DeMarco.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women. I'm your host, Deanne DeMarco. And if you are ready to ignite your career and be more empowered, then stay tuned. We have got a great show for you to do today. If you've ever wondered what are some of those mistakes that you could be making on a day-to-day basis that may be hindering your success, or how to conquer those obstacles that may be getting in the way of your success, then stay tuned. This is what we're going to be covering today. Just a couple housekeeping things as we're getting started. First of all, the Inspiring Women's Conference is coming up November 7th of 2014 here in the Chicagoland area. So if you're in the area, make sure you look us up. You can find more about that on the show's website. I'm getting a lot of emails regarding the quotes and actions that I give at the end of every show. Yes, they are available on a day-to-day basis if you want them, or you can get them a couple times a week if you would like them as well, and they'd be delivered right to your mailbox. Go to the show's website for today's Inspiring Women and look on that right-hand column, and you'll see a link for free quotes and actions. It's free. It's no charge. You can unsubscribe if you decide you don't want them anymore. It's like no big deal. So, but yes, they are available to your mailbox. I'm getting lots of responses for those. So I can't wait to get started here. Our first guest is Dr. Ressa Wolf, and she was once the press secretary for Hawaii gubernatorial campaign and adjunct professor at the University of Maryland and Johns Hopkins University. She is a lady who really has a lot of experience in the way of communication, with 10 years of experience as a speech pathologist, and she has a specialty of improving the communication skills of professionals who speak English as a second language. Her PhD is in psychology, and she helps others to be more effective with their anxiety around speaking. Dr. Ressa Wolf, welcome to today's Inspiring Women.
Oh, hello. I'm so delighted to be here.
Now, is it Ressa or Risa?
It sounds like Lisa, but with an R, Risa.
Risa. All right. Sorry about that, Risa. Welcome to the show. Glad you could be on the show today.
I feel exactly the same way, and I'm really interested in giving your listeners real concrete, helpful information. So please, ask away.
You know, one of the things that I've noticed is that at work, you know, as a manager, I would have employees who had no problem speaking up. And then I had others that, man, if they could hide into the woodwork, they would. You know, they just didn't seem comfortable speaking up at team meetings. And even when I'd have them in my office doing one-on-ones with them, they just didn't really want to talk much. Do you have any advice for people who are not as extroverted and being able to speak up?
I have lots of advice for them, and let's really take a look at what are some of the reasons why people don't speak up. About maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I was talking to a woman that I knew through some other organization, and she was reminded what I do for work. She was a fourth grade teacher, and she said, you know, I do that in my classroom, too. I have the kids get up and speak. And, you know, if they're not any good, I just say, oh, that's terrible. Sit down. And I thought, oh, my goodness. I have met the woman who does this to people, that I see these people when they're 35 years old, like 35, you know, 30 years later, when they are afraid to get up and speak and they don't ever remember why. So some people are timid because they've had bad experiences. It's very human to be timid, because in general, to be a little bit nervous before speaking, because we're separating ourselves out from the group. All eyes are on us. I think everyone has some normal nervousness. And then there are people who were socialized to not speak up. There are many people who are in mid-management, people sometimes who are starting out, and some leaders too, who were raised in other countries. And in fact, they were raised to not speak up. And when they're in my classes and I say, well, you know, when you're back home, that's fine, but here people expect you to share your ideas, it's a huge paradigm shift for them. So there are reasons why people don't speak up, but I'd like to, if it's all right with you, give you some hints about how people can work on themselves and speak up more.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, I would say, first of all, prepare for the meeting. That is, that any meeting, just like the Tuesday morning meeting, think ahead, what are you going to say? And particularly, what are the questions that you might get about what you're going to say? And either include that in the material itself, or practice the answers. Practice a one or two sentence answer that you can easily give. So if it's your turn to speak, as nervous as you're going to be, still make eye contact, speak slowly, speak loudly enough. I would say rehearsing doing that at home is a good idea. And then be prepared for the questions, because a lot of our, you know, resistance to speaking up happens because we don't know what we're going to say. And two, we are fearful of what might happen. Instead, think ahead. I also suggest that in a meeting, since people expect you to share, I often think it's a good idea to be one of the first people who raises your hand or jumps in and speaks. Because this way, if you have an idea, you can say it before the person on the other side of the table takes your idea and then, boop, nothing else to say. And I would say start doing that during lunch with colleagues and in small situations when you're in someone's cubicle and the three of you are chatting, so that you can kind of warm up to the bigger meetings, regular meetings, and even the larger meetings.
You know, I really like this, you know, because I know that with all of my meetings, I would always pass out an agenda ahead of time. Mm-hmm. You know, so there'd be no reason why a person couldn't really be looking at that agenda ahead of time and actually be saying, okay, so where can I add some value to this meeting? Mm-hmm. So that's part of that preparing ahead of time that you're talking about.
Oh, no question. Not only what I can, you know, yes, I can talk on that. It's not enough to stop there. You absolutely must say, what am I going to say? And I'll tell you, if you take a piece of paper and put some bullets on it, I never suggest writing out what you're going to say, but if you put some bullets on a page and decide, I'm going to talk about this first, this second, and this third, and then, best of all, if you practice it aloud, then you're going to find the words you're going to stumble over, or, oh, I can't think of that word. Well, put that word on your notes. Honestly, if you rehearse your five-minute talk or your three-minute participation ahead of time, maybe four or five times, then people will see your sixth version of it as opposed to the first one when you're falling over yourself.
Sure, I really like that. You know, and the other thing that you brought up that I think this is a really good idea is, as you're looking over that agenda, maybe thinking ahead of time, what questions could I possibly raise that might add value also to the conversation?
That's a really good one. And even sometimes timid people will start by just agreeing with someone who has a good idea. I once worked with someone who was actually a big fake. He just was, he spoke beautifully, but he had nothing to say. And I watched. First, I was annoyed. I thought, God, look at this. All these people are impressed with him, and he's nothing. And then I thought, wait a second. If people believe he has a lot of responsibility and a lot of capability, let me study him, because I actually have the real stuff and I want to learn from him. And one thing that he did is, if someone had a good idea, he would jump in at the end of their share and say, oh, yeah, yeah, so I think the same thing. Or he would repeat the last few words that they said. Oh, gosh, it was a good fake, but it's also a good technique for people who don't like to speak at a meeting to begin speaking.
Aha. Uh-huh. Never gave that one a thought. You know, another thing that I was thinking about here is, you know, when a person says that they really do want to speak, and so they're more timid, they're more introverted, how do they grab attention from the people who are talking so they don't get talked over? Do you have any ideas for that?
Huge. And actually, there are a couple of issues going on here. Very often, people are talked over because they talk kind of quietly, and they're used to speaking quietly. In their head, they feel like they're talking really loud. But I would first check with colleagues and say, do I speak loud enough? Because it could be 10, 15% louder would make you equal to everyone. And then once you have that strength, then it's harder for people to talk over you. It's very, very easy to talk over someone who is speaking quietly. So that's number one. And secondly, if you're in an organization where the type of communication is one person interrupting, another person interrupting, another person interrupting, I don't particularly care for that myself, but if you decide you want to stay there, then you really have to rehearse doing that. And the way to do that is look at the people, observe for a meeting or two how people do it. Not just that they're doing it, but what is it they do? Do they say, just a minute, I have something? Do they hold up their hand? Do they speak much louder? Do they talk to the person who's speaking, or do they talk to the group? And copy what they're doing. But if you just see it as you're putting on this act, then you don't have to feel as if you're completely crossing your own line of integrity.
That's really good. And I've got another one for you. You know, I used to have this one gal that used to come to my meetings, and she used to wear these charm bracelets.
Oh, God.
And she was so nervous that when she finally did speak, she'd start twirling this charm bracelet, you know, and I didn't want to call her out in front of the meeting, but it used to just like drive me crazy. What can a person do? I mean, she was obviously very nervous. So what can a person do if they are nervous and they want to speak in front of a group? What can they do?
I would say, put down the pen, stop twirling the hair, stop playing with your rings. And my gosh, that is the funniest thing ever, playing with a charm bracelet or shaking it around. It's like, hi, let me alert you to how I feel. I would say it's important for a person to rehearse in front of a mirror. Not that you get self-conscious about what you're about, oh, what am I doing? What am I doing with my hands? It's more to capture the things that really indicate I'm scared. Because mostly, if I said to someone, do you know you were playing with your ring? Do you know that you were, you know, twirling your hair? Do you know that you were pushing your glasses up or whatever, you know, a little fidgety thing people do? They would say, I might have done it once, maybe twice. And then if they rehearse in front of a mirror, they'll see that that is something that they do regularly that not only indicates that they're fearful, but it, frankly, it distracts people from their content.
Yeah, it actually, you know, every time she spoke and she'd twirl this charm bracelet, it almost weakened her position of whatever it is she was talking about.
You bet it did. You bet it did. People who are successful generally are good speakers, and many of them had to work at it. Not everybody was born in an outgoing family. This is a learnable skill, and I suggest people do, because there's just a certain point that your career will stop when people can't put you in front of a customer or can't put you in front of the board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely believe. Yeah, I mean, I saw her as really almost unpromotable because she was just so nervous all the time. You know, and I just wanted to just reach over and grab her wrist. You know, like, don't twirl that. It's just driving me crazy.
Well,
you know,
actually,
let me just do something real quick here. You know, one of the things that people who are a little more timid, let's say they want to ask their boss for a raise. Do you have any suggestions? Or maybe if you're not timid, how do you ask a boss for a raise? You know, why don't we take a quick break and we come back? Let's talk about this whole asking your boss for a raise thing. Is that okay with you?
Sounds great.
All right, let's stay tuned. This is Deanna Marco with today's Inspiring Women. We'll be right back.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
My name's Ken, and I am as general a contractor as you'll find. I do
kitchen remodeling, additions, plumbing, painting. Ken does it all. And I'm Mandy,
the owner of the UPS store in my neighborhood. And Mandy here does it all, too. She
handles Ken's packing and shipping. Because when you're remodeling a bathroom and a client
changes their mind on a light fixture or a mirror, Mandy packs it up and ships it out. She also
helps Ken promote his business, like with these new brochures we printed, new business cards.
And the flyers are great, too. In fact, when I'm at a job and I'm expecting a delivery,
I sign for it. I even let him know with a text or email.
Since I got a mailbox at the UPS store. I have to say, as much as I love being on my own, I'm not alone. I've got Mandy here.
To help with the heavy lifting?
Well, figuratively speaking.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
I'm Steve, and I just opened my own barbecue restaurant. I'm the sauce master, but I'm no expert in printing.
And I'm Mary. I own the UPS store in Steve's neighborhood, and I help with professional printing like flyers and posters to promote Steve's restaurant. Steve loves being on his own.
But I'm not alone, thanks to Mary.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne@deannedemarco.com. That's Deanne@deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women, and we are talking about communicating in the workplace. And just before break, we started talking about, I started asking the question around, how do you ask your boss for a raise? Do you have any suggestions on that?
I definitely do. I used to be a senior trainer for Drake Bean Morin, which is career counseling for executives. And those people were not only asking for a raise, they were asking for a job. I would say that let's just focus on the raise part, and that is that, first of all, do the research. What are people in your industry making who have your similar job? See if you can talk to others in your organization and have them reveal. You know, sometimes I think that bosses created the taboo. Oh, we shouldn't talk about money. Don't tell anybody how much money you make, because they paid people different amounts of money, and it wasn't particularly equal. So I would do as much research as I can, but mostly I would log on my own behavior. What I mean by that is oftentimes we will kind of document something that happened at work. Either an employee did this and it was wonderful, or an employee did that and it wasn't wonderful. But I say it's important to document yourself. And that is, you know, when you've done over and above the job description. The reason I brought up the Drake Bean Morin thing is I would say to these executives as I was writing their resumes, so listen, have you ever done anything over and above the job description? And they would say, oh, all the time. And I would say, oh, what? And I have my pen ready, and they couldn't remember. So I would say, as you go through one performance evaluation, ask your boss, what are the things that I would need to do to move up in this organization or to get a raise? Write those down.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, one of the things that I used to love is the person who would come to me, you know, and asking for a raise, and they would have a list of what it was they did with what the results were.
You bet. And you show, in addition, I love that, that you say, and how much money did we make on that? The fact that because I stepped in, we didn't lose the client that was about to leave. And in fact, they continued with us this year, and this is how much they paid us this year.
Yeah, I mean, even things like, and I was able to help reduce the conflict, or I was able to save that customer who came in and shopped and brought us X amount of dollars more in sales or whatever. But having that, having the what they did with what the results were, so it was both things.
I think that is what makes the difference. People don't give someone a raise because they like you or you've been here for 12 years or that you get along with everyone or you're a people person. No, what they care about is, did you make us money? Did you save us money? And part of that can be, I reduced the conflict, and therefore everybody kept working as opposed to being so upset by that for 2 weeks that that's all they could talk about and not do any work.
Yeah, because I think very few people didn't realize that, you know, I had a budget on what I could budget as far as raises. So I couldn't give everyone, you know, a $3,000 raise or a $2,000 raise. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a budget I had to fill, you know, and so I had to divvy that out. And if I had 36 employees working for me, I had to divvy that dollar amount out to my 36 employees.
Mm-hmm. And a person better be able to justify why they should get a piece of that action.
Yep, I absolutely agree. You know, let's go back to the lady with the bracelet, you know, for just a minute here. Are there any suggestions on how a manager should best manage someone that is really nervous or timid?
I think it's the manager's job to let a person know that how they're presenting themselves might that perhaps they could present themselves in another way, or they could polish their presentation skills. And I don't mean big talks. I'm saying talking at a meeting or, you know, speaking up at a meeting, but that they could maybe open up their career more. I'll tell you what I see that is wrong, and that is when someone's up for a job, then their boss says, oh, gosh, you know, you could really improve your communication skills. Well, they're not going to get the job if you hear about it the day before the job is closed. I think it's important for a manager to groom people. And no one likes telling someone, and you want to be careful at how diplomatic you are. You don't want to be sued for, you know, kind of suggesting that someone doesn't have good enough skills. But, for example, I see people who sometimes use wrong grammar. And if they come from, like, some part of our country that has not such a great school system, they don't know they're doing it, or they pronounce a word wrong. I'm the first one to go, listen, this is awkward for me to tell you, but, or I might say this, I sometimes say to people during breaks in a seminar, you know, there's something I want to tell you that might hold you back in your career. It's a little awkward, can I tell you? Well, they always say yes, and they're so grateful. If I use kind of general language about, I think this would be helpful. It's not that you can't speak well or, you know, when you do your bracelet, it's distracting. It's more the idea of, if you watch someone speak, you know, look at so-and-so speaking, and what is your impression of them? And then you might point out someone who is a little bit more scared. What's your impression of that person? I'll tell you what, why don't you rehearse in front of a mirror next time and, you know, what's your impression of you? Because I'd be very willing, since you're really a high performer, to invest in you and send you to a class that, you know, sometimes, like when I came up, I just didn't get the memo on how to speak. I've learned to speak well. I'd like to share that with you.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. You know, so one of the questions I have is, what are some of the other mistakes that people make when they're trying to speak up at meetings or trying to speak with their boss?
I would say two big mistakes are kind of related. One is the person doesn't focus. They give a 7-sentence introduction to what they're going to say, and then they'll say, and the bottom line is, when all people really want was, the bottom line is, they want one sentence with the answer. Another thing is that people sometimes will ramble on and on. They ignore what the reactions of other people. And that is, when people are kind of looking away and opening up their phones, it means you're not holding my attention. And I would say when that happens, it's important to stop, check, have I said it already? Or do I need to go more, or more importantly, stop and say, would you like more information on this? Am I going into too much detail, or would you like more detail? Because what happens with people when they do notice the listener's not paying attention, they think to themselves, oh, well, maybe I haven't explained it enough, and they say it again. Well, that is not a good tactic. The best tactic is to stop, check in with people, see where they are, and see, maybe I'm done, and or maybe not. And I think for those who, most people who ramble on and on know that they do. Mm-hmm. Not all. Some people just are completely, I don't know. Some people just are unaware of other people's reactions. But if a person knows, and this is my suggestion, have a colleague that you can share this with, sit across from you at the table. When you start to ramble, maybe have them raise their finger or raise a pen so that you go, whoop, time for me to cut it short. And
That's a good idea.
8 or 9 times that happens, you'll start to be able to edit yourself.
Yeah, really good idea. You know, I got one more I want to ask you. What do you do with the people who are always interrupting?
Whoa, tough one. First of all, look at your position and look at their position, because if it's my bosses and they're interrupting, guess what? I'm going to let them interrupt.
Right.
And what I'll do is I will say my information more quickly, so that before they interrupt, people have heard my stuff. Because otherwise, many people say, I never get a chance to finish, because they're interrupting, asking questions, and I really have not made my points. So if you feel, well, this person's a peer or someone that I really can ask them to not interrupt, I would rehearse with a friend or someone at home or a colleague, rehearse you speaking and that person interrupting you. Because as much as I'm a professional speaker and coach 3,000 people in speaking, I don't like when I'm interrupted and have to stand up for myself. It's awkward. It's a little uncomfortable. But I've trained myself to do it, and that is, if I'm not quite done, I will interrupt back and say, just a minute, I have one more thing to say. Or just a minute, let me finish, and then I'll hear your idea. And especially at the beginning of a meeting, if you say to the whole group, I'm going to speak only for 5 minutes today, so if you would let me finish all the way through, then I'll take questions, then everyone's heard that you're not going to take questions. So when someone does interrupt and it's someone that you're willing to speak up to, then when you say, oh, just a moment, I just have a minute to go, let me finish that and I'll take your ideas.
That's a really good idea. So if people want more information on some of these communication strategies that you've been talking about, is any of this information in a book?
Oh, well, actually, there's a phenomenal book that I highly recommend. The woman who wrote this is absolutely magnificent. It's called Executive Speaking in a Weekend. It's on Amazon, Executive Speaking in a Weekend. And yes, it is my book, Risa Wolf, 2 E's in Risa, 2 O's in Wolf, PhD. Although if you type in executive speaking in a weekend, my book will come up. And it's very practical, because essentially I've captured a seminar that I've given successfully for 20 years in book form. So if people go through that, as many people have emailed me, they will actually be excellent speakers.
All right, cool. So what are some of the services? We only have a few minutes left. What are some of the services that you provide, and how do people get hold of you?
I typically do seminars in corporations for executive teams, sales teams, sometimes management teams, so that they can move people to action more, or for sales, they close more deals, which is phenomenal. My information, if you Google Risa Wolf, spelled any way you want, my name will come up. My website is called confidentspeaking.com. And if you look there, you can certainly contact me. And also, you can sign up for a free tips newsletter, and I'll send you some tips every other week.
Well, cool. What is your email address so people can find you that way as well?
You can put my name, Wolf, at confidentspeaking.com, or info@confidentspeaking.com. Anything in front of confidentspeaking.com will work. And I'll tell you who uses that frequently. I, of course, coach top executives individually before the big talk they're going to give at the convention. And that's the only time, frankly, they want to see me. You would think top executives would want to just polish their skills, but no, really, they have their assistant call me before the big meeting. They get help and they kill at the big meeting, and then they're pretty much done, and they want to see me again before the next big meeting. So that's, yes, really, what can you say? Although I would say people who, you know, everyone has someone at work who's just dull as dirt or so boring or just is so, mired in detail that they need help, and they can call me and I can coach that person. I usually fly out to people's locations. It's cheaper to fly me out and coach, you know, 12 people than it is to pay for 12 people's airplane rides and hotel rooms. Have I given you some helpful?
Yeah, I agree. You know, our time is up here, and I'd like to thank you very much for being on today's Inspiring Women.
A real pleasure.
And we need to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of those obstacles that may be getting in your way of your success and how to overcome those obstacles to increase your opportunities. So stay tuned. This is Deanne DeMarco on today's Inspiring Women. We'll be right back.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
I'm Steve, and I just opened my own barbecue restaurant. I'm the sauce master, but I'm no expert in printing.
And I'm Mary. I own the UPS store in Steve's neighborhood, and I help with professional printing like flyers and posters to promote Steve's restaurant. Steve loves being on his own.
But I'm not alone, thanks to Mary.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
My name's Ken, and I am as general a contractor as you'll find. I do
kitchen remodeling, additions, plumbing, painting. Ken does it all. And I'm Mandy,
the owner of the UPS store in my neighborhood. And Mandy here does it all, too. She
handles Ken's packing and shipping. Because when you're remodeling a bathroom and a client
changes their mind on a light fixture or a mirror, Mandy packs it up and ships it out. She also
helps Ken promote his business, like with these new brochures we printed, new business cards.
And the flyers are great, too. In fact, when I'm at a job and I'm expecting a delivery,
I sign for it. I even let him know with a text or email.
Since I got a mailbox at the UPS store. I have to say, as much as I love being on my own, I'm not alone. I've got Mandy here.
To help with the heavy lifting?
Well, figuratively speaking.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at DeanneDeMarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at DeanneDeMarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women. And on this half, we're going to speak to one of my favorite folks. And she's going to talk about how to conquer some of the obstacles that we have to deal with in work and how we can create more possibilities for ourselves. And I am talking about Karen Gridley. And Karen coaches and teaches individuals and teams to think the way they want to act and they act the way they want to think. As a former scientist and recovering excuse maker, Karen gives practical tools for business professionals to address everyday life and business challenges. Her audiences that she speaks to gains lots of insights and gets tips on how to achieve action with dramatic personal and down-to-earth humor and matter-of-fact approach. She is the author of Embrace Your Rights and the creation of the Recovering Excuse Maker Prayer. Welcome, Karen. Glad to have you on Today's Inspiring Women.
Thanks, Deanne. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, I love you. I mean, you are the excuse removal expert. I mean, I just love that. You know, I sometimes need to have you sitting on my desk every once in a while. Now, if Karen was here, I would not give myself this excuse.
It's a daily challenge and a daily reprieve based on how we respond, right?
Yeah, you know, and I'm really excited. You know, the Inspiring Women's Conference is very lucky to have you be one of our speakers at the conference coming up in November. And you're going to be talking about this whole conquering obstacles stuff. And I'm just excited that you're going to be speaking.
Well, thank you. I'm thrilled for, you know, to be there and look forward to it. And yeah, those obstacles, if we're not careful, they'll just constantly trip us up, you know?
You know, so one of the questions I want to talk to you about is when you're going to be talking about obstacles, are you talking about personal obstacles or are you talking about professional, more professional nature obstacles?
Well, you know, Deanne, it's funny because that's a great question. And the reality is how do we separate the two, right?
Yeah.
Because what we do in one area of our life definitely affects the other area. Let me give you an example. For example, I had this woman that was one of my coaching clients, and at the time I met her, she knew that it was time to make a transition professionally in her career. Do you ever have those times in life that you just know it's time to make a change?
Sure.
And yet sometimes the challenge is getting yourself to do it. So she wondered why she kept having stumbling blocks and wasn't moving forward. So as we worked together, we uncovered that she had some personal stuff that she thought was all resolved because it was a long time ago and it was in the past and everything. And then the more that we delved into it, she realized that there was some uncovered issues. So when we addressed those, she got out of her own way, opened the door to possibilities, and she aligned herself with a new position that accelerated her career. It was exactly what she was looking for. And so the fact is that those obstacles, sometimes we think they're only impacting us personally or professionally, and the reality is often it's both. And we see this in organizations as well. For example, a team that I worked with where I went in with one of my a few customized workshops, because what happened was this team was having all sorts of challenges. They had trust issues. They were unable to communicate effectively. They were not meeting deadlines. And you know, as a former manager and the importance of going into corporate, and when people aren't meeting deadlines, that's major stuff. Well, after the combination of workshops and some coaching, the team learned how to be more cohesive and effective. And the bottom line issues were there was a lot of individual self-doubt. So one might categorize that as personally, and yet it definitely had a severe impact on the organization and its ability to meet deliverables and how they performed. So much so that now the good news, it's always great when there's good news, is other departments at the organization are looking to them as now role models of how they respond. So when you get those personal obstacles out of the way, they definitely affect it professionally. And likewise, there's been people that have the obstacles professionally that then interfere personally. So they really are intertwined.
Well, you know, that makes perfect sense, actually. You know, because I think it's really hard to separate personal from professional. I think they do overlap quite a bit. Are women business owners more likely to have obstacles than men? And what are some of those obstacles that women tend to have?
Well, that's a great question. And sometimes women, we think we have this terminal uniqueness, you know, like we're the only ones going through something. And we're not. The reality is that men and, you know, women, we both have obstacles. Sometimes it's how we handle them differently. So what I've seen among women business owners and women professionals are three main obstacles that we let get in our way. The first is we say yes when we need to say no. Have you ever said yes when you really needed to say no?
Huh, yeah, I never gave that a thought.
Yes, and what happens is that takes a toll on us. For example, you know, this one of my coaching clients, she was saying yes to everyone in everything. You probably met people like that. Maybe in yourself, you've
sure.
done it. I know that was me in the past. The problem is that left nothing in her tank, nothing for her. And so as a result of our working together, what she's learning to do is to value herself. It's one thing to say, you know, especially women, we say we get so frustrated that we want other people to value us. But we miss that it's got to start with valuing ourselves. So she's really learning to value herself, prioritize appropriately. In other words, make sure there's time for her, too, and putting that into action. Because sometimes it's a matter of getting ourselves to do those things. And in the beginning, you know, she was having major health issues. Her stress was high. She was having trouble at work. She got a bad review, and she was horrified because that was the first time that ever happened in her career. Now, by valuing herself, taking time for her, putting things into action, her health is actually improving. Stress is decreasing. She's a better employee. Her manager is more pleased. She's a better wife and mother. So learning to say yes when you mean yes and no when you need to say no.
So, yeah, I actually had an employee like that, mm-hmm. and it was a woman, and she would say yes to absolutely everything, and she became stretched so thin yes. that the quality of her work went down.
And it's really about skill development,
you know,
because it's that developing that skill, getting yourself to do it. And sometimes often, Deanne, it starts with that mindset, knowing that it's okay to do that. So, see, a lot of times people want to start with what's on the surface, but often it's about going deeper.
Yeah, I didn't give that a thought until just now when you're talking about, you know, your example. And I went, oh, yeah, I had the same situation happen with one of the employees that I had. Yeah.
Yes. And you know,
what were some of the other... So one of the ones was saying say no when you really need to say no.
I'm sorry.
What's another one?
I was so excited because it's like it's so true that these things happen. Another one of the common obstacles actually was great. Remember a while back when you had the opportunity to interview Barbara Corcoran?
Yeah.
And she talked about self-doubt. And what I thought was so great was how she mentioned that we all have it. Sometimes I think we make these excuses that all these people that are really successful are without self-doubt. And she was really clear in her interview that we all have it. It's simply how we handle. And the other obstacle that really plagues us is procrastination. Oh, wait, you might want to take a moment and think about that. I don't know. Does it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And the procrastination, we see this in both men and women. The thing is that most women are really bothered when we procrastinate, and it eats away at us inside, though it does impact men too. And I think that's important for women to recognize, because often when we're dealing with men, especially in the business world, we think they're immune to these things. And it's really important to recognize that men are impacted as well. For example, one of male entrepreneur clients that I worked with, he was so focused on his business that he said he was never getting to the things that were important to him personally. So we worked on his mindset and systems in order for him to address the list that he had at the time, which, Deanne, it was quite a list, let me tell you. But he managed to get through that and then create new sustainable habits, which was the real important part, is to sustain it. You see, that's like your great conferences coming up, today's Inspiring Women. People go to these things and they go for a quick fix instead of really focusing on making the changes. It reminds me of this cartoon that I saw, that there was these two little boys and a dog, and the dog's name is Stripe. And the one boy says, I taught Stripe how to whistle. So his friend looks and he gets like nose to nose with the dog, and he says, I don't hear him whistling. And then the first kid says, I said I taught him. I didn't say he learned it.
Oh, boy, is that a good one.
Is that we don't learn anything in one day. And every time I talk to this male entrepreneur client, every time I talk to him now, he reminds me of how thrilled he was for the results, because his life changed and his business accelerated. He's more productive, less stress. And the irony is that both men and women typically are unaware of the full impact of procrastination. So to, as a quick little recap, the three major obstacles that impact both men and women, and especially plague women, are saying yes when we need to say no, self-doubt, and procrastination. And the problem is those obstacles then can create pitfalls that we get stuck in if we aren't careful.
Boy, I really, really, really like that. Yeah, I think you're right on the money. And I do love your little story of Stripe the dog who was taught to whistle. Didn't mean he learned it. But, you know, and I wonder how many times have people tried, especially when I was growing up, to try and teach me something. And, you know, they worked hard at it, but, you know, I just didn't learn it.
Right. And, of course, that's because, you know, I had the same thing, Dan. And what I realized when I got older was I played a role. I need to be a full participant to truly learn something. So many times we want to blame the teacher, or at least I did in the past, and blame the teacher. And the reality is, was I doing everything important? Was I open and receptive? Was I following through? Was I doing the practice, the repetition reinforcement? Without that, we don't learn anything.
I really love that. You know, we need to take a quick break here. When we come back, I'm going to talk about some advice you might have for people to try and overcome some of these obstacles that they may be facing in their lives. So this is Deanna Markle, today's Inspiring Women with Karen Gridley. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We're on Facebook, along with some of the greatest minds of the world, and that includes you. Visit us on Facebook at Voice America Empowerment.
I'm Steve, and I just opened my own barbecue restaurant. I'm the sauce master, but I'm no expert in printing.
And I'm Mary. I own the UPS store in Steve's neighborhood, and I help with professional printing like flyers and posters to promote Steve's restaurant. Steve loves being on his own.
But I'm not alone, thanks to Mary.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
My name's Ken, and I am as general a contractor as you'll find. I do
kitchen remodeling, additions, plumbing, painting. Ken does it all. And I'm Mandy,
the owner of the UPS store in my neighborhood. And Mandy here does it all, too. She
handles Ken's packing and shipping. Because when you're remodeling a bathroom and a client
changes their mind on a light fixture or a mirror, Mandy packs it up and ships it out. She also
helps Ken promote his business, like with these new brochures we printed, new business cards.
And the flyers are great, too. In fact, when I'm at a job and I'm expecting a delivery,
I sign for it. I even let him know with a text or email.
Since I got a mailbox at the UPS store. I have to say, as much as I love being on my own, I'm not alone. I've got Mandy here.
To help with the heavy lifting?
Well, figuratively speaking.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women, and we got Karen Gridley here, the excuse removal expert on the line. And Karen, you've been giving us some really good information about some of the obstacles that we face and as women and what we really need to do about it. Could you kind of give us some advice around how do we conquer some of these obstacles?
Absolutely. Let me give you a couple of, in the listeners, a couple of practical tools because I'm all about practicality. If it's not practical, people aren't going to do it. So I want to start with right number 17, which is from my book, Embrace Your Rights. And just as a quick clarify, Embrace Your Rights is about responsibility, taking responsibility for yourself and your choices and your outcomes. Right number 17 says, I have the right to acknowledge and celebrate my accomplishments, no matter how insignificant they may seem. That's really important for you. And what I invite listeners to do is start noticing what you're dismissing about yourself. For example, if somebody gives you a compliment, do you say, oh, that's no big deal? Or do you actually embrace it? For a long time, one of the things that I just dismissed about myself was about having a college degree. Now, people would ask me or say it would come up in conversation about having a college degree, and my response in the past was something along the lines of, well, yeah, it's no big deal. A lot of people have a college degree. And I remember one time a conversation with Jack Canfield, he's a co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul series and Success Principles, I'm sure many people are aware of.
Uh-huh.
And I'm also blessed to have his endorsement on my book, Embrace Your Rights. But he said to me, he looked me square in the eye and he said, Karen, how are you going to get anywhere if you keep dismissing all the accomplishments that you made? And it hit me because I didn't even realize. And it was about my challenge to really give myself credit. And what we give attention to grows. And so what I had to learn to do, and I invite everyone listening to this call to do, is to acknowledge and celebrate all the progress along the way, even when you think it's insignificant, because they are the building blocks of achieving bigger goals and dreams. The goals and dreams are simply a series of mini successes. And when we dismiss them, it's as if we keep pulling out the foundation and wondering why we aren't getting anywhere.
Huh. Really like that.
Yeah. And the other tool I want to share with people is something in my program, Empower Yourself, which is a DVD from a live presentation. I talk about the tools to overcome stress. You know anybody that has stress on occasion, Deanne?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Sure. Yeah. So the first thing we need to do is to identify stressors. And what's a stressor? It's something that bothers you or that you tend to react to. For some people, it's as simple as traffic. For other people, it might be like the behavior of other people. I know you do a lot with communication, and I'm sure that comes up about the ideas of other people's behavior annoying us. And, for example, I've often heard it said that somebody who asks a lot of questions, let's say somebody who asks a lot of questions is somebody who annoys you. So, first of all, you want to identify that stressor. What is it? What's the behavior? Then, here's the next really important part, is ask yourself, what is it about that behavior that bothers you? Because people just stop at, oh, that person is annoying, when the real truth and the solution is underneath. So, for example, often people that are bothered by another person who asks a lot of questions, it's interpreted as that the person feels insulted, or the person feels like the person asking the question is doubting their ability. When
well,
you get
how do
there,
people get the, how do people get your books and your DVDs?
Okay, great. They can go to my website, which is KarenGridley.com. You can email me. In fact, anyone who wants to get a jump start on the conference or what's happening with them, I have a gift for your listeners of a complimentary call to assess their situation and see if we're a good fit to work together. It's a $500 value. Simply email me at Karen@KarenGridley.com or call me at 602-870-3652.
That's great. And so people get your books at your website.
Yes, yes.
And it's Gridley.
Yes,
Gridley.
Thank you. Yes.
And Karen with a K, KarenGridley, the excuse removal expert. Well, Karen, I'd like to thank you very much for being on today's Inspiring Women. You know, anyone who's going to be in the Chicagoland area has got to come hear you live. I'll tell you, I mean, you're just a phenomenal lady.
Well, I appreciate that. And I got to get to the conference for everything that you do. It's going to be awesome and really looking forward to it, to seeing everybody there. Know it's going to be a life-changing event for those who approach it seriously. So show up in Chicago November 7th, right, Deanne?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to thank everyone for listening. I always end every week with a motivational quote and an action for the week. And the quote I have for you this week is from a tennis athlete, Coco Sue. And she says, the solution is in the continuous presence of being in the now. As we press forward, with the total belief and effort to obtain our goal. And your action for this week is to be fully present and engaged in one of your conversations. Well, until next time, this is Deanne DeMarco, today's Inspiring Women. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Today's Inspiring Women. Please join host Deanne DeMarco and other entrepreneurial and business leaders next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Have an outstanding week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.